Radiotopia.
You didn't hear this from me, but Normal Gossip is back for a sixth season. Join host Kelsey McKinney as she shares the juiciest gossip from the real world. Each episode, she's joined by a special guest, and you might recognize a couple this season from the Radiotopia universe. Normal Gossip, named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, is out now on all your favorite podcast platforms. New episodes starting April 17th. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dear Diary.
Sixth grade.
February 14th.
1991.
I am really depressed.
How could she break up with me?
Mom, you can't read this.
November 11th. Guess what I did? You're going to go nuts. Okay, start over. I smoked pot. Yeah, weed, dope, ganja, Mary Jane. Yep, I did it and I love it. Talk about being fucking relaxed.
Brooke Lancaster was like most teenagers. There came a moment in her adolescence when she had to decide, do I experiment or just say no? From PRX and Radiotopia, this is the Mortified Podcast. I'm Neil. Today, we're exploring misguided ways teenagers deal with drugs. Later, we'll hear from teenagers who actually experimented. But first, a story of one kid who did none of that. When Hillary Winston was growing up, she became so convinced of the dangers of drugs, she took it upon herself to become a vocal anti-drug advocate, despite having absolutely zero real-life experience on the topic. Here's Hillary on stage in Los Angeles.
I was a nerd in junior high. I was a nerd for a couple of reasons. One, I was the kind of kid who made a balsa wood replica of Notre Dame complete with rose window for the school Ren Fair. Two, I was the only kid in seventh grade who was obsessed with Richard Nixon. And third, you know, as if I wasn't enough of a nerd, I was also president of Baker Middle School Against Doing Drugs, bad. And we had shirts that said bad to the brain. And we traveled around to different schools doing like anti-drug sketches, like 101 ways to say no to drugs. I don't want to marry Juana. I want to marry Joe. We also did anti-drug raps. And my rap was, drugs anesthetize the soul, rob your mind, make you die. It doesn't rhyme. Don't look for it. But as president, you know, I felt like I wanted to do more. I really wanted to reach out to at-risk youth. And so I decided that the best way to do this was to write a short story about the dangers of drugs and submit it to a children's literary magazine called Merlin's Pen. Yeah, very high circulation among at-risk youth. Unsure Thoughts by Hillary E. Winston. When I turned 14, I started hanging around with people Mom wasn't exactly thrilled with, preferably Nick and Jenny. At the Galleria, I do nothing much but stand around while Nick and Jenny ran their little business. Hey, Nick, how's it going? I got some good stuff, cheap. Want some? He said. Come on, support our little business. I'd done drugs before. They're all right. But something inside was pulling back, saying no, while the other was pushing forward for yes. Everything flashed in front of my face. Drugs aren't that good. I feel lost when I take them, but what have I got to lose? Love from my parents? No, not even close. Yeah, I handed Nick the money as he slipped me the pot. Whoa. It's 1:15, I gotta go. Mom! Ashley, what are you doing here? I came in to get you. In the car, all I was thinking about was, is this right? I mean, I won't get messed up. I can't. Or will I? No, I won't let myself become dependent like Jenny. That's all she does now, dope. But I have the willpower to say no, if I want to. Or do I? Finally, we arrived home. I hurried to my room, closed the door, and threw myself on the bed. I took the stuff out of my pocket, and I sat it in front of me just staring at it. I pictured myself doing it, smoking it. I felt my face being drained of all its blood. Could I do it here in my own room where I had so many memories of father and myself? I reached for some matches and lit up. A cloud seemed to cover all of my problems or just create more. I stood up and I reached for the air freshener. A wave of dizziness overcame me. Ashley, wake up. I was lying on the floor of the room. Everything was spinning. I sat up to focus in on the figure that was shaking me. Mom, she held up the pot. What's this? She said in an angry but questionable voice. She goes over to Jenny's house. Jennifer, Jen had what I called everything. A stereo, a TV, and a humongous room. But really, she had nothing. Just then, Jennifer walked out of the bathroom holding a cigarette. Want one, she asked. My mother caught me with the stuff, I said. How could you be so careless, she screamed. I could get busted. You jeopardized our whole little business, screamed Nick. Jenny came towards me and pounded her sweaty fist on my cold body, screaming and screeching like a wounded eagle on pot. I needed out or I'd explode. I flung open the door and ran down the stairs and let myself out into the dark, cold night to think. All I knew was that I had to change. My devilish life was seeping into my inside, my home, where I argued with my thoughts, where I could be myself, the sweet, the innocent. I had to protect it. I could. I would. I can. I will.
That was Hillary Winston in Los Angeles at King King. Now, while Hillary was enveloped by fear, Allison Fingerit did not share the same level of paranoia, even when she was completely stoned out of her mind. Here is Allison at the debut of Mortified Twin Cities at the Amsterdam. Oh, Amsterdam, drugs. Interesting.
I went to an arts high school for writing, and I started smoking a lot of pot. But I felt guilty about it, like I couldn't be successful as a pothead. So I wanted to get the opinion of an artist that I respected at the time. December 23rd, 2003. Dear Lou Reed. Have you seen the vertical ray of the sun? It's pretty fucking awesome. I love how songs can bring back memories so acutely. I wish that more people had balls and were able to do crazy shit. Crazy shit like follow their instincts. What is your take on drugs, Mr. Reed? Because I, myself, have fallen into a pretty bad drug habit. In fact, I'm high right now. And I want so badly to believe that doing this kind of thing is all right. But it comes with the cliche that society tells me no and whatnot. But sometimes, there's nothing that would cheer me up more than getting stoned and dreaming about or receiving cunnilingus. It happened to me for the first time just a few days ago. And I think that I finally found the key to true momentary happiness. I dig the way that I feel like you're cool enough to appreciate my ramblings. Right now, I am sitting on my queen-size select comfort sleep number bed in between two of my four best friends. We are outrageously stoned and all sitting in bed together, writing in our respective journals. It's spiritual in that we're all together and yet we're not. My high is wearing off and I'm feeling less free. Please answer my question about the elusive morality behind this. Lou Reed, my 18th birthday is in a few days. I'm afraid to be an adult. I have wasted most of my winter break. Jonas just opened his mouth wide enough for a big cock. I can't open my mouth nearly that wide because I injured it giving head. I have a lot of meaningless sex these days. And like most people, I'm afraid of dying alone. I want to have enough money to cheer myself up capitalist style and rock the sweaters I admire at the mall. Lou Reed, I must go. Please consider your influence on the lives of cool teenagers. Love always, Allison.
As we've heard, some teenagers fear drugs. And then there are those for which drug use is a form of all-out, no-holds-barred rebellion.
It was so easy to skip school. We'd go to South Beach on the weekends, and somehow we'd get into those clubs, and we'd drink, and yeah, we did drugs.
I had this one friend who was like the kid who sold weed to everyone. And as it turned out, he had a lot more than just weed. It was really only a matter of time until I started to do worse things.
Jessica's new lifestyle didn't exactly sit well with her mother.
When I used to come home from being out, she would put her nose on my mouth and smell me. She'd be like, "You smell like cigarettes. You smell like pot." She was so stressed out. Poor thing. I feel so bad for her. I can't believe how big of a brat I was.
Here's Jessica sharing her rebellious phase at Littlefields in New York City.
Hi, I'm Jessica, and I grew up in Boca Raton, Florida. At the time of this journal, I was 15 to 16 years old. My parents were divorced. I had two older siblings, and I was feeling a little lost in the shuffle of it all. I was constantly in trouble for drinking and smoking pot, and I was convinced that it was most definitely everyone else's fault. February 4th, 2003, at 10:15 p.m. Right now, life is kind of awkward. I'll start with my family, my parents. Me and my mom have been getting along a lot better. We get into little arguments, but I've been learning to deal with situations better. I've taken on the I don't give a shit attitude. She is dating this new guy. I used to hate him, but now I don't give a shit. I hate everything and everyone. It's not good. I quit smoking weed because I want to have a relationship with my dad. I don't really feel comfortable peeing in a cup for him, though. Dear diary, I hate my parents. They are so stupid. Wow, it's frustrating. Well, my dad is brilliant, but relationship-wise, he's a moron. It kills me. Wow, they are stupid. My mom is such a moron. So stupid. She has no clue what she's doing. She is fucking lost 24/7. I hope it was the drugs she did when she was a hippie, because if she is naturally that stupid, wow. Maybe it's because she was premature. I don't know. Then my dickhead dad, after he stresses me out and pushes me to drugs, says, "Don't do that or I'll send you away. And I'm drug testing you." So not cool. It's like they want me to fail. I only like my therapist because she is paid to be on my side. My mom just brought me chicken. I'm a little nervous to eat it. She may poison me. Dear Diary. But by the way, this next part is written completely in caps. I hate life. I hate everything. I want to go to a deserted island that has a Starbucks, an Italian restaurant, a Publix, and it gets sent all the newest clothes. And I'm the only one there besides a good guy that's really hot and loves me more than I love him. No parents or family or people or mean friends who don't call. And unlimited amounts of Cool Ranch Doritos. And Grey Goose. And a hammock. A mansion. A robot maid. My teddy that I lost on the airplane. And telephones that you can see people when you talk. Maybe. And I always have the perfect body there no matter what. And the weather I choose. And so much music. And no snakes whatsoever. Ew, I hate them more than life itself. Dear fuckface. Life sucks, shit is shitty, I'm mad at the world, no one in particular. I hate the school, I don't want to come back here, I really don't. It's horrible. There are so many loser personalities here, it kills me. Not loser as in uncool or unpopular, loser as in no clue. The cluelessness of just about everyone slays me. Obviously, I'm the problem, but hey, I don't give a shit. I really don't. I love that I don't care. I try so hard to make people realize how stupid things are, but it's a complete waste. Fuck everyone and fuck their families too. I hate everyone. I hate having fucking sea lice because I went to the beach when I didn't even want to go. I hate buying clothes. I have to do so much shit, but I can't. I want to be free of my things that I have to get done. I need to go to a clean room and take 10 sleeping pills or Valium and sleep for days, maybe weeks. Oh my God, I know my solution. I need to go into a coma and wake up in 2 years. That would be fucking awesome. Then I can upset my dad for not caring and be able to make him realize what a schmuck he was for not appreciating me. I'd lose weight, I'd get older, I'd skip high school. I want to go into a coma and then wake up and be well enough to go running the next day. I'll be a medical miracle. Why do people fall in love? Ew, it's fucking obnoxious. And being nice is obnoxious. And doing what people want you to do is a drain of your individuality. I just want to break something. Ha! Fuck everyone. I hate the universe and I hate how dirty and gross the world is. And I want people to realize how fucking stupid they all really are. Fuck everyone. Love, Jessica. P.S. I don't really hate you. I just need someone. Dear Diary, it has been a long ass motherfucking time since I wrote last. It's been like 2 or 3 weeks. So much shit has gone down. I'm kicked out of high school. My mom wants to send me to a wilderness program, which is a program for troubled teens. I got trashed beyond belief, and all the teachers and everyone found out. I went to Dr. Cocksucker, psychiatrist, on Thursday. It was great. Really, it sucked dick, though. I haven't been to Dr. Herman, therapist, in like 10 years. I don't give a shit, though. She can go suck Dr. Cocksucker's dick for all I care. Oh, and Rosemary, Dr. Heller, Dr. Siciliano, and Dr. Fur, and the fat one can all join in, too. I hate them all. They know nothing about me, bitch-ass motherfuckers. Yo, it's 3:31:03, a Monday. Shit still sucks the big one. Mike was so sweet today. I like hugging him and sitting with him and shit. Spring break is soon, thank God. As long as I go to the beach every day and get tan as a motherfucker, I'll be happy. And I'll be healthy, hopefully. And I want to get drunk 24/7. Just kidding, Mom. I know you read this. I don't know. People suck dick. All of them. Most of them. I make such a big deal out of everything. I really need to chill out. I want a hug. I want someone to sit down and for me to put my head on their chest and have them hug me. I just want love. So after this journal entry was written, I took a bit of a hiatus from writing. I was too busy trying to escape my life in Boca by getting into all kinds of trouble. Funnily enough, this pursuit landed me right into a new sort of captivity. One night, I was woken from a sound sleep to two strangers in my bedroom. These strangers handcuffed me and escorted me to my new home in the woods.
In the middle of the night, I got woken up by these two people. They were like wearing t-shirts and hats that said Right Direction. And they were like, you're going to the wilderness. And I'm like, who are you? You know, get out of my room. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. And I could see my mom in the background. And she's like, Jessica, you're going with them. They told me to get up and get dressed. I got on a plane and it was going to upstate New York. It was in the middle of winter. So it was like really, really cold. I think it got down to negative 50 with wind chill. I was super defiant. I took the backpack they gave me and I like unpacked everything and I ran off into the woods. I was like, fuck it. Fuck these people. Fuck her. I'm going to go find someone in the woods who will take care of me. So they had someone follow me, one of the instructors. So I was never like by myself, but I did get us stuck in a beaver dam. I don't know. It was a mess. After that whole ordeal, I finally got the hang of it and I was their star pupil. The truth is that I did give a shit. I mean, I really gave a shit. I gave a lot of shits. But to make myself feel better about, you know, everything that was going on, I kind of just went with that attitude.
The following is the first entry I wrote when I was freed from the woods. Dear Diary, it's been a while, my friend. It's March 27th, 2004. I haven't written in this shit for a long ass time. Since the last time I wrote, I was sent to the wilderness. I've been away for 5 months. I'm no longer a cokehead. Good news, right? I spoke to both of my parents today. I talked to my dad about some of my fears for when I come to visit him, and I feel like I can just talk to him about whatever I need to get off my chest or get support about. It's good to have him as my dad. I've missed him a lot, too. Today, he called me his little lobster. The phone call with my mom was good, too. She was soft with me, very loving and reassuring, and I didn't even get mad at her once. I'm getting tired. Talk soon. Love, Jessica.
That was Jessica Wertheimer, and before her, Brooke Lancaster, Hillary Winston, and Allison Fingerit, reading aloud their childhood writings with no embellishing, no exaggerating, just God-given awkwardness. And this concludes our Dazed and Confused episode, where we learned whether drugs inspire you to write short stories or leave you lost in the wilderness, just remember, you're not impressing anyone, except for Lou Reed. Share the shame, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit getmortified.com to learn about Mortified stage shows, books, films, and beyond. Click participate, and who knows, maybe you'll appear on a future episode of this series. As many of you know, the Mortified podcast is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which is made possible with support from the Knight Foundation and MailChimp, who celebrate creativity, chaos, and teamwork. Want to support our podcast? We'd love that. Email sponsor at radiotopia.fm. Our podcast production team for this episode includes Kathy Tu, Dave Nadelberg, and myself, Neil Katcher. Stephen Chupaska, Christina Galante, Teresa Purcell, and Karen Sykes story produced these for the stage. Music by Gordon Bash, Alex Burke, Adam Smith, The Angels, Zoe Rose Palladino, and Snake, Snake, Snakes. Additional thanks to Lance Roberts Studios, Will Dwyer, Aparna Kumar, Tamar Avishai, Eric Bass, Littlefields, King King Hollywood, Gallery 788, The Amsterdam, and all the Mortified live producers whose work make the stage show possible. Until next time, we remind you that we are freaks, we are fragile, and we all survive.